Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas podcast. This is episode 5 of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. Thank you for tuning in again. Today we're speaking to Elise Aiken. Elise lives in her tiny house in Greenville in South Carolina, and she also runs her own business called Bake and Skate, which is literally a merge of her two favourite things, baking and skating. So we'll be talking about her tiny house, the tiny house building process, any tips and tricks she's got, and any advice coming from someone that lives in a tiny house to you guys if you're interested in living tiny in the future. And we'll also talk about how living tiny has really enabled her to follow her aspirations, to follow her dreams, and how living tiny can do the same for you. So stay tuned to hear more about Elise and her tiny living. Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas podcast, the show where we talk about how to live a more fulfilling life with less. My name's Harry Alvarez-Garman, and I've got tons of exciting guests lined up for you, including authors, entrepreneurs, and tiny house owners. If you love minimalism, sustainable living, personal development, and everything in between, then you're in the right place. On the show, we'll be talking about how you can do more of what you love, how to turn your passion into a career, and how to live more sustainably. So joining us today, we've got Elise. If you'd like to introduce yourself for the Tiny House Ideas podcast.
Hi, I'm Elise Aiken, and I am in Greenville, South Carolina, and I have a tiny house called La Casita Bonita, sometimes called Ola Tiny House on here too.
Amazing. Brilliant. What inspired the names then?
I love how it's called the Pretty Little House. And so I have the words Ola written outside on it. And so that Instagram name was available to be able to have Ola Tiny House out there. Amazing. So it's got a very Spanish theme to it. And so I wanted to be able to have that on the outside too.
Yeah. Okay. So sort of like the inside features Spanish theme, is it?
Yeah. I wanted to go for like a Miami tropical atmosphere with it. So I have some Spanish tiles, lots of tropical plants out here. It's been really fun.
And how long have you been in the tiny house?
I moved in, I think, later part of 2019. And so I feel like I felt like I officially moved in December or January, but I was kind of moving things in back from Atlanta up here. So I want to say end of 2019. So almost a year.
Fair enough. Almost a year. Brilliant stuff. Mm-hmm. But it must have been a weird period to move into a tiny house now with everything that's going on at the moment as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, being quarantined up here has been really good, though. A really creative space for it. So it's been fun.
That's good. Yeah. So you say you create a space. You've got like an art room, have you, as well, did I read?
Yeah. So I have a studio right outside of here, too, that I built. And we have some Spanish tiles on the floor, too. But that's where I make all my longboards and keep lots of equipment, lots of decks and paint and everything. Sometimes I like coming in here to paint because I feel more creative in here, but I don't want to spill paint on everything, so I gotta be careful about it.
You've got to find the balance because it's obviously such a nice inspirational space, but you don't want to sort of go and get stuff everywhere. No, that makes sense. So the longboards you do, tell me about that.
So they're hand-painted longboards, and so I get them out from California, but then I get them shaped out into certain ones. So I have about 6 different styles, and then I do a lot of custom design. So if somebody wants me to paint something specific on it, I'll paint it. Takes a good couple of weeks to do, but then I have certain designs that I always paint and that I have a lot of orders on, so I keep those in stock a bit more so I can get those done faster. But they're really fun. Really like being able to paint things for people that mean a lot to them.
Yeah, exactly. Makes them happy and everything. It must be really nice to sort of just be able to have your freedom to do everything creative that you want to, and obviously living in a small space gives you the opportunity to pursue that.
Yes, it's really fun. There's a lot of natural light in here too, so I feel very creative. Especially when it rains.
Oh, brilliant. love that. Along with the longboards, bake and skate. So obviously you've incorporated your longboards and love of baking into your own business.
Yeah, so it's fun. We want to get a food truck, ideally within the next maybe year or two. That way we can be able to go around to different parts of towns where food trucks are a bit more popular. Thinking more about festivals and events, looking into that and seeing how fun that would be there and how good of an opportunity we'd have there, or if we should just go around to different places near Atlanta. But being able to have like just a store on wheels, we'd cook things and bake things offsite in a different kitchen and then bring it on there. That'd be really fun to paint a whole truck too.
I'm sure you'd love that. Bigger than a longboard. So with the food truck, you'd say take it sort of to places near your state around you, so you wouldn't sort of travel with it in the tiny house or anything?
No, wouldn't travel. The tiny house is rather large, so it would be a bit difficult to tote around different places. When we build another one in the future, we'll probably have that one a bit smaller and on a different style trailer so that it can be more easily moved around. But this one would be a little bit difficult to move, but we would have a food truck that's just already running, a good engine on that one. This one I would love for this house to be settled here and stationed here, and we're getting like a septic tank relatively soon, so we can have different kind of hookups that are more so not along the lines of tiny houses that just are mobile all the time. So yeah, it'll be nice to have a normal toilet.
Yeah, no, that makes definitely a normal toilet would be a luxury, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
So is the plan sort of just set up shop there? You're going to sort of look at doing Airbnb and hosting guests and sort of creating everything self-sustained, as off-grid the path you're looking at? Or
I'm not necessarily sure all the details of what off-grid means. I know I have like internet connection here and different Wi-Fi, and I'm hooked up to like their water line and different power line too. So I think it would be fun in the future to have one that's run on solar panels to see once those get a bit more cost efficient, to be able to see how much energy we can produce on that. But my electricity bill is like nothing here. So it's been really nice. It's been cool. Lots of good, like, helps to have a lot of natural light and LED bulbs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been fun.
Yeah, sort of keep it nice, bright and airy, and obviously just inspire you to do what you love to do.
Yes. It'd be fun to have it as an Airbnb soon too, to be able to host, because then when we get married, we'll be in Atlanta too. So then thinking about having, we were just brainstorming about it last night, thinking about like having our other place be for Airbnb as well. And then have that one as like an artsier industrial style with our photography studio in it. So being able to have two totally different kinds of Airbnbs would be really fun.
Brilliant. Yeah. Then you can sort of appeal to two different types of people. And keep that open. Yeah, no, I like that idea. It's sort of brilliant. So you've got, obviously, you're living in the tiny house at the moment, and then you're looking to move it into an Airbnb and then go to something else, and then just sort of keep expanding that as well.
Yeah, so we'll be getting married in the end of September. And so we got our new place yesterday, actually, down in Atlanta. So we'll be able to like spend most of our time there and then come back up here a good bit, and just to have like little creative getaways. Being able to have this mostly as Airbnb, that would be really fun, to be able to have people have their own kind of creative getaways, because tiny houses are really fun and I love living in them. But for multiple people, you kind of need a little bit more space. So it would be really fun to be able to have two different places. And then when we want to get creative and come up here and then rent that place out in Atlanta. So it'll be a journey. It'll be fun seeing how it goes.
That sounds like you've got it all figured out. It sounds like a really, really nice plan.
Like
you said, people, I think, would really, really benefit from having a creative getaway, sort of just clear their mind, get away from the hustle and bustle and everything. And really unwind and just be able to do what they enjoy and just focus with no distractions is I can see the appeal of that a lot.
Yeah, and like a little writer's retreat. I picture it just being, I feel very creative in here, and I feel like I just want to write things and paint things. So being able to be like, clear your mind, get out. It's kind of in the middle of a forest. So it's, you look out all the windows and everything's just real green. So it'd be real fun.
No, brilliant. So in this forest, have you got sort of anyone else that's nearby you, any neighbors, any other tiny houses around? Or
we are actually thinking about getting an Airstream sometime in the next 2 years or so. And because I have my house on the sweetest family's property. So I had posted in some group on Facebook about like tiny houses and looking for land to put mine. And he was like, we'd love to have multiple tiny houses in the future. And so we'd love to have you put your house on here. So it's like very minimal rent. It's the nicest family. Me and the mom are such good friends. I have three little kids that we just hang out with. And so they're pretty far. We're on the same like big driveway, but then their house is like far back there. So then I'm kind of in the middle of the woods. So I have a lot of space and privacy, but then we just like hang out whenever she comes and borrows ingredients. I go get ingredients from them. So it's been really nice to have like a neighborly aspect of everything, but still feeling like you have your own space out here too.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got the best of both worlds. Obviously, you can sort of see them, keep in contact with people, and then also you've obviously got your space, you've got your freedom to just completely unwind and switch off from everything else, which must be great.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so nice out here.
Oh, brilliant. Lots of nice walks and that sort of stuff around in the woods and
Yeah, not too. There's like a little creek back there. I'm not a huge fan of spiders right now, so I try to avoid it in the summer months. But in the fall, it's really pretty. There's a bunch of really pretty fields out here, so lots of like really pretty sunsets. Near a lot of cows, and so there's like some donkeys right across the street, so I'll hear them occasionally. But just walking out, there's like really pretty flower fields and cows, and I never pictured it being where I would live, considering we're going to live in the middle of downtown in a little bit. So it'll be really fun. But it's been really cool to be so secluded, but then just drive by lots of really pretty fields at sunsets and sunrise. And it's so lovely.
Oh, brilliant. There's a deer. So, when you're downtown, so close to nature.
Yeah.
Amazing. So when you guys go downtown, then what's the plan? You're going to sort of continue with your business. Obviously, you're getting married soon. Congratulations on the engagement as well.
Thank you. So lovely. Yeah. So business, my business can run from really most of all my stuff is online because I didn't want to get a food truck yet because I had felt like this place would be more of a temporary city for the time being because tiny houses are legal up here. They're not really legal in Atlanta yet. So being able to know that I can do most of my longboards and sell them really anywhere online, but we also do wedding photography and videography. So a lot of our weddings are around the Atlanta area. So we'll be able to do work from our own little studio at home to make all the longboards and edit and all that kind of stuff. But then we'll have most of our weddings close to the city. So it'll be really fun. And that's why we'd want to be more downtown. Because that's where most of the weddings are, knowing that I can make longboards anywhere. Because it's so fun waking up and painting.
Being able to do what you love. Yeah, no, exactly. Obviously, it's amazing. I mean, so many people sort of saying that they want to sort of pursue these dreams. They want to do what they enjoy every day and sort of don't want to wake up and go to this 9-to-5 that they don't want to be doing. So
yeah, exactly.
Really liberating. Just every day you can be as creative as you want, do whatever you want and work for yourself.
It is a blessing a lot. Sometimes it gets a little bit stressful, like having to make your own schedule and not having like a set salary. But that's one of those things where it's like the benefits far outweigh any kind of negatives of being like, we have the freedom to just take like a month long honeymoon and go to Asia and just explore and then run our online businesses while we're there, put longboards on hold for a couple weeks. And so that's like lots of perks of it and being able to go and then have other people film weddings for us while we're gone. And so it's been really fun. It can sometimes be a little bit stressful knowing that we are handling everything our own and making our own business. But the benefits far outweigh any kind of negative aspect of it.
Oh, that's amazing. So the honeymoon, you said you were looking at Asia. Is that a plan? Is that what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, we're thinking about January, taking a whole month off and just going down to Bali and Thailand and then maybe up to South Korea. So testing out a few different things. But when we get married in September, we'll probably go out west a little bit, have like a small little thing and then come back, settle into a new place and then go explore some more.
Go explore. Brilliant. And you've been to Asia before. You've done a lot of traveling in your past. You've sort of been to Cambodia and you said you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I forget about that because I feel like it was so long ago, but it was really only 2015 and 16. I was teaching English in Cambodia and Thailand for a bit. And that's what made my heart really love like the whole atmosphere of Southeast Asia. So easy to get to, but there's so many different like beautiful aspects of it that you can just explore so many countries within a matter of a couple weeks.
Exactly.
Versus the States where they're pretty big. So takes a while to drive across the States.
That's a coincidence, actually, because you said sort of 2015, 2016, you're in Cambodia, and it was about the same time, I think, summer of 2016, I had a few weeks in Southeast Asia, so obviously could have crossed paths, you never know.
Maybe. Thailand.
It's amazing so beautiful. Place, isn't it? Such a cool place.
So beautiful.
So traveling, has that sort of influenced you wanting to go tiny? Did that sort of have an impact on you wanting to live in a smaller space?
Yeah, for sure. I used to live in Ghana in like 2013 and 2014. And like, it was so beautiful and it was so minimal. And it helped me realize for like a year of all the things that you don't really need. And like, I could live out of a suitcase for so long. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't need this many clothes. I need like two pairs of shoes. And like, in terms of being able to live in like a beautiful little hut, I was like, this is so nice. Like, I don't need... You get to utilize all the space that you have. So being able to know that every square inch of this house is something that I like utilize every bit of it. And like, I love every space because I'm kind of forced to love it. Otherwise, I was like, why am I having this space if I don't need it?
Exactly.
And so it's nice being able to, yeah, to appreciate everything. And Ghana really helped that too.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, because you've got full control. Obviously, if you went through the build process, you can choose where you want to where it works best for you, where the storage is, if you need a bigger wardrobe or a smaller pantry and things like that. It's just sort of works perfectly. So with the build of your tiny house, is that something that you guys did? Did you have it contracted out or did you buy it? Or
I did. I knew that I had wanted very specific things in it, whether it was like two lofts or a lot of light, or like a specific kitchen. I know that some tiny houses can have like a smaller kitchen or like a little refrigerator, but I know that I like to bake a lot and I like to cook a lot. So I was like, the thing that I wanted to have a bigger aspect of is to have like a full size refrigerator and a full size stove and oven so that I can cook things. And like the countertop too. So I knew that with so many things that I wanted to, what I would need to edit on a house that I already built, I was like, I feel like I should just build my own if I have a specific way that I already want it. And so that's what started me thinking about like how much of a creative space I wanted to make. So I was like, I should just build this. And then there are some like prefab tiny houses that you can get that are like very basic and pretty minimal that can cost a bit more. And so it was actually a lot more cost efficient for me to just design it exactly how I wanted it. So I sat down with a guy who built the frame of it. And so we made the blueprint and stuff together.
Yeah.
And then instead of hiring like a general contractor, I would do each individual thing myself. It did take me longer than I could have if I had just gotten like one person to do it. But of course, with speeding the building process, I had some speed bumps and like certain people who built it, maybe not doing it the best way that I think could have been done, and cutting corners on things. So being able to like stop that process and get somebody who I thoroughly trusted with it. So being able to do like some individual people to do like electric and plumbing, and then somebody to do drywall, and then had help with flooring from like family members. So each little piece of it, I had a big say in, but in terms of like plumbing and electrical, there's no way that I would have done that myself, knowing that I had no idea what I'm doing. So I was like, I'll gladly hire somebody to do that.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. That makes sense. So how long was the process from start to finish? Then obviously you said there are a few speed bumps. How long did it take?
I want to say about a year. There was a few times where somebody who was building the frame of it was just about to have a baby. So the process for him to do that was longer than initially planned. So then realizing that like not a lot of it was getting done on that aspect. So then having to go through the process of like finding another person to pick up where that left off, that was probably the time that took the longest of finding the people, and then coming back and forth between Atlanta and Greenville to be able to meet the people to do it and do it in person. So that was the process of all the little details that took the most time in between. Yeah. But whereas if I had had somebody just do it start to finish, they could have done it faster, but it would have cost me a bit more money to have like a general contractor with it. Plus I get to be part of the whole process of it. Of like, well, now I know how to do drywall. So I appreciate it a lot more.
And now you know for next time, you know, all sort of all the things that go into it, all the things that people don't
see. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah, and there's a lot of lessons I've learned for the next house that we build, but it'll be nice to do it with somebody.
Yeah, it would be really nice. So I can imagine you've got it all streamlined. You can sort of learn everything from the build that you've got at the moment. And next time you can sort of streamline the process and work out how to do things differently. And obviously you've got a lot of experience to take away from that.
Yes, I've learned a lot, but I know that the next house I build, I will still be learning lots of things. So eventually we'll get it down, but at least I've learned things. I think the biggest lesson I've learned in building a house was do it right the first time, and then you don't have to pay for it twice. In terms of like my skylights, I skimped out and got not good skylights at first, and then bad storm came in and all my skylights leaked. God. So I was like, okay, if I had actually put the effort into getting really good installation and really good skylights, I wouldn't have had that issue. And then luckily I hadn't moved any furniture or anything in by then. It was just the very beginning. Yeah. So it was good, but there's lots of stuff where I was like, okay, don't skimp out on the things that are very important. Like there are a few things that you can do furniture stuff. You can find really good deals on furniture and decorations, but in terms of like roofing and
Exactly.
And electric, make sure you, make sure you get it done right. And then you can have a peace of mind. Because for a while, every time it would rain, I'd be like, is it going to leak again? And it's totally fine now. But at the same time, there was a good little while where I would just didn't have a peace every time it rained. I was like, well, hope I did it right. So lots of lessons.
You didn't have any furniture or anything. And that is a big relief, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a blessing.
No, it makes perfect sense. Obviously, sort of do it right the first time and that will save money, time, stress and everything in the future. It's just sort of do it once and then just can rest assured.
But
sorted. Yeah. Brilliant. So for the next tiny house, what is the plan? Then are you going to sort of look at doing subcontracting out different jobs? Are you going to sort of be involved in the build process a bit more hands-on, or what do you think?
We do actually have a friend, one of Christian's really good friends, builds things. I'm going to coerce him into building it for us, because he helped you a lot with like the shower tiles. But we keep joking, we're like, Levi, for the next house we build, we're just going to pay you to build the whole thing. Because he'll joke and be like, Elise, you should have gotten me to build it all. And I was like, I should have. And so now that we're thinking about like in the future building another one, I would get somebody who I trust and like help them with the process of it. But somebody to be like, okay, I don't want a general contractor. I think we would just hire somebody who is, he's so talented too, but somebody who we could trust to be like, just take control over it. We'll learn how to save money as we do it and like talk with him about different ways to budget on it. Not just be like, have at it, build anything, but more of like, okay, let's talk about budget and then you just do whatever you want. Your timeline, I guess we'll have a timeline too, but the thought of definitely having somebody who we trust more, who knows a lot more. And if he needs help with like plumbing or electric or maybe a field that he doesn't have a whole lot of experience, then we can bring like individual people for small jobs on it. But for sure, I think that would be somebody who we would want to do just start to finish so we can trust the whole process.
Exactly. No, it sounds like a plan that is good to sort of have, be able to involve your friends and family in the whole process. Obviously, you said you had help with moving in and the transition to tying with your family and obviously asking a friend to build in future. It's just sort of nice sort of community spirit, isn't it?
It's a lot more meaningful too, knowing that like the shower tiles are beautiful, but it's also so much more knowing that like I didn't just have a random person build it. We had like a really good friend who loves doing tiles. And like I had to learn about backsplash, so putting the backsplash in, and now every time I look at the backsplash I was like, wow, that took me a long time, but I had a lot of fun doing it. So
there's a character and story behind every little detail that you can sort of,
oh my gosh,
always go back to, which is a really nice thought.
Lots of character. The tiles aren't straight all the time. There's little tiny like bumps and things. I was like, okay, it's fine.
At least I did it
myself.
That's the thing. At least you did it yourself. Yeah, it's brilliant. And you were talking about sort of ways that you've got your storage and space saving features in the tiny house. What would you say is like the niftiest bit of storage that you've got?
I have some storage in the staircase going up. There isn't as much storage inside of it that I do like to put a lot of clothes in there, but I do my cabinet. I have a pullout cabinet that's right by the refrigerator. So it's kind of like a little pantry, but then it just slides out on wheels. So I have like canned items and that's good. And then I have some more storage like shelves under the stairs. So that utilizes a lot of space too. But I will say my studio out there is kind of more like, the whole house is very aesthetic, but in terms of my studio space, it's just one big creative hurricane mess. And so I have like some kind of industrial shelving where I can just bring in random things. And I'm like, I don't want to store this in the house right now. I'm just going to bring it out here because
out of sight, out of mind.
Guests won't see it. So we're fine. They don't know how messy it is in there.
As long as the bit they see is nice and that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's good though. So you say you've got sort of storage for all the kitchen bits and bobs in a pantry and the shelves there, sort of tucks away, keeps out of sight, which is really handy. And so if I sort of how big the tiny house is and how big the studio is in comparison, and then sort of how big the next house will be or something in a sense, if you're happy with that.
Yeah, you said talking about the dimensions and space.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Should I ask about that? Okay.
Yeah.
So in the current tiny house that you're in at the moment, how big is it?
It is 34 feet wide by, I believe, 34 feet long by 9 feet wide. Really don't know how tall, because I have like a slant up at the very top that goes down from my skylights. And then both lofts are like an A-frame. So I want to say it's 12 feet.
Okay, fair enough.
I want to say it's 12 feet. I did purposely do a smaller loft up on the guest loft so that that headspace would be smaller so that the living room area can have more headspace. And then my bedroom has more headspace so that, because that's the one that we're in most of the time. And then exactly, so don't need sort of have too much space in the bathroom. Yeah.
Well, I see what you mean now about sort of not being a good idea to tell you that to sort of food festivals and that sort of stuff. It is that big.
Oh, yes, it is large. Also, the trailer that it's on, it's like two combined trailers to make it a bit longer. But that also makes me a little weary about the transport of it in case something happens with the axles. I don't know. That's a lot of technical details. But so I knew that I wanted to put it on a trailer to be able to move it if something happens, but with the intent of keeping it in one spot. Because this family here is so lovely and they want to have tiny houses on it as like a permanent thing. So it wasn't just like a temporary space for them either. So that's nice that we're on the same mindset of that too.
Yeah, no, that is it must be really nice to sort of have that group all together. And especially when it comes, obviously, if you've still got the house there, it'll sort of, you can watch it grow into a community. You can watch new people come along.
Yeah.
They'll find inspiration and sort of build on that themselves.
Yeah, and if we have another house too, if we want to get an Airstream in the future, then to be able to market it in ways of like, yeah, this house would fit 4 or 5 people. And then if you have a big group and you want to come with friends and they can rent out the Airstream next door too. So it kind of just be like one big party with lots of friends here. It'd be fun.
Is there going to be sort of like a communal space if this turns into a community? Will it be sort of like a fire area or like a communal kitchen or things like that? Or will it be sort of more self-contained units?
It would probably be self-contained units, but we're clearing out a bit of space to be able to put the septic tank in the woods back here. So if we're clearing out land right there anyway, depending on where the other house is, we could make like a little path or something to each other would be really fun. Exactly. That way they don't have to walk just on the driveway. Yeah, that would be so fun.
So going back to the trailer, you said it was sort of two that have been put together. Is that something you had to sort of work out yourself? Did you source it or was it ready built or...?
I don't know if I really intended for that. I think my initial person who built the frame of it, I think it was a little misconstrued with, I thought it was one relatively long trailer, but then it turns out it was two put together. So I wouldn't recommend that because that would probably have issues with the axle in the future by not being super stable if you needed to move it. So when we build another one, I think we would do a little bit smaller. And if we do it, I think we want to do one out west more so like when we travel a lot out west and going to like Colorado and Utah and California and Joshua Tree, we notice that like there's not too many really interesting tiny houses or Airbnbs or if they are, they're not in the most like popular areas. So we're like, maybe we should do one out west and have it like solely for Airbnb, but like smaller, knowing that it's like, we could be a bit more flexible with, I wanted to do drywall in here because I liked the look of it. And I liked the look of, I wanted to paint the walls, but I think there's something along the lines of if I have drywall in this house and we move it, there could be an issue with like, I don't want to say drywall cracking, but if for the tiny houses that just have the wooden interiors, those are easier for transportation. So if we do have that, we'll probably put it on a smaller trailer, and then build it out with not as homey of like a drywall and certain things that would be really good for transportation purposes.
Okay.
So I think that would be really fun.
So sort of focus on that one being more to sort of have the potentials be moved around if needs be. And then obviously you've got the Airstream, which can be sort of taken if you need it elsewhere.
That's true.
And then with the Airstream, you're sort of looking at doing that up, sort of keeping it how it used to be, or are you looking to sort of do a complete renovation or modernize it, or what's the plan with that?
I'm a big lover of interior decorating and like making a house look really nice. Some of the Airstreams we've looked at, since they are from the 70s, are Airstreams from 70s? Are Airstreams from the 70s mostly? Like modern ones too. But for us to be able to decorate the inside in a way where it looks newer. So if we do get a newer one, being able to not have to do too much renovation on it. But if we get an older one for like a good price, we can figure out just how to, as long as the shell of it is really good and not like no worries about leaking on anything. I'm a big fan of skylights, so if we do get an Airstream, I would still love to figure out how to put like a bubble dome skylight on it.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Lots of natural light on it. So we would decorate it in a way. I feel a desert theme for that one. This one's tropical theme. I think a desert theme would be cool.
Oh, brilliant. I love that idea. Really cool. So with the Airstream, that sort of goes back to us how we were saying about do it right the first time, then it will sort of, you'll appreciate it a lot more in future, because obviously looking and sourcing, spending the time initially to source a really good Airstream that's sort of structurally sound makes a lot more sense than just sort of picking the first one you see and then worrying about all the problems as they come.
For sure. Because if we plan on moving it or just hitching it to a trailer, I guess we'd figure out like how well the structure is, like if it'd be easier to transport or if we'd have to spend more money in the future by fixing the whole frame or something around it. So we would definitely do a lot of research. My fiance has a really good head on his shoulders, so he will keep me grounded in terms of knowing which one we should make a wise decision on versus just me looking at a really cute one.
Sounds like a good partnership there. Sounds like a good team.
I'm just going to give a quick mention to Tiny House Ideas. So Tiny House Ideas is my business, it's my company. It's been what I've been working on for the last 5 years in the long term, and especially over lockdown, over the last year or so, I've really put some time, energy and effort into building this business. So Tiny House Ideas obviously started with an Instagram page, and it has grown and developed into the business that it is today. It's the perfect free platform for anyone interested in the tiny house movement, in the tiny house community. First of all of the images that I feature on Instagram, you can find out more information, you can get a full fact file over on the website. As well as that, there's a really cool tool called Find Me a Builder, where for free, I will personally pair a few tiny house builders with you based on your requirements, and that will save you going through hours and hours of searching through Google results. Take the stress out of it for you, really. And obviously, it's no obligation. I'll send you a few recommendations, and it's up to you what you do with them. Another section of the website is the approved builders section. So I've been working with a few tiny house builders that I really stand behind, that I see the value in their work. So there's a profile there to sort of tell you more about them, and so you can contact them directly if you've got any jobs that you're interested in. And finally, on the website, there's a section for tiny house vacations. So if you guys are looking to go away and to try the tiny house movement, to try the tiny house living, but don't know if you want to commit to it, if you don't want to live there just yet, then a vacation is a really, really great way to sort of get acclimatized, to learn more about it. And you can do that by clicking on the vacations tab of the Tiny House Ideas website and learning more and searching through some amazing holiday homes.
Now, I like the idea of a skylight a lot though. So obviously you've got skylights in the current house, and it must be sort of lovely just sort of waking up, hearing the rain and sort of having the sun come in and wake up actually in the morning.
It is so nice. The only downside of having a skylight is sometimes when I'm trying to sleep at night, the moonlight is very bright, just like right over it. So having to figure out a little way to like make a curtain or something, like a suction cup window covering, because that's the only thing. I'm a pretty light sleeper. You can sleep through anything, but I'm a light sleeper. So as soon as the light comes in, I'm like, oh gosh, I can't go to sleep. So that's the only slightly negative side of it. It is so beautiful just watching the rain, and like sometimes I just lay on the floor and look up at the skylights and just see the rain.
But it's such a nice, so beautiful, magical thought, isn't it? Just really, really nice.
So lovely. It's a lot. It's a lot lovelier now, knowing I have like a full peace of mind about none of them leaking.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you
oh my gosh.
A rain drop on your forehead or anything anytime soon.
Mm-mm. I hope not. They're a lot more durable too. So since I'm in a forest, if like a branch falls or something, they're more designed for like handling little branches that fall. Whereas the initial ones I put in, I believe were just windows. So if anything were to have fallen on them, that could have been super dangerous to have just like a branch fall and then those windows not be designed to it. But these are really thick and think they have like a few different layers on them. So
that's
so lovely.
Brilliant. So would you say the skylights and natural light would be your favorite thing about the tiny house?
Yes, for sure. It's nice knowing that like it's only at night that I really need to turn lights on, or like early in the morning. Sorry, there's a bug. But I think that is one of my favorites because I feel a lot more creative in a place where there's a lot of light. So that's why our new place in Atlanta too, we wanted to make sure it had like really big windows, because for both of us, like working from home and like we're both in the art field of just editing and photography and videos and painting, we both feel really creative with just lots of windows and natural light. And especially for when we have like a photography studio in there too, well, that'll be easy to have people have like a really good backdrop on it too and not have to do fake light. And so that'll be really fun too. That's what we wanted to look for there too.
Perfect. No, that makes sense. So that being your favorite feature, is there anything that you'd say that sort of sticks out as being your least favorite thing about the tiny house?
The composting toilet. 100%. It was necessary to get it at first because his property right out here doesn't have a septic tank hookup or a sewage tank hookup. So that was like the only option. Also, there weren't too many composting toilet brands online. I will say the one that I have is really nice, and I don't want to complain about it because it was like a very nice gift. But I do get very frustrated when we're gone for like a week or two and we come back and there's like a smell or there's bugs. Yeah. And lately there's been a lot of little like flies and gnats. So that was what kind of pushed us over the edge of being like, babe, we got to invest in a septic tank. And yeah, that'll be easier to, yeah, it'll be easier for guests too. So, I mean, there are certain people that like really like composting toilets, and that'll be nice to have like a guest that would like that. But at the same time of when I have somebody up here who handles like the cleaning process of when a guest leaves and when a new one comes, I don't want to put them through that of having to empty a compost toilet of somebody else's stuff. Yeah. And so we're like, that's going to be the most beneficial. It's not terrible. I'm used to it by now, but I think more so either when there's bugs or just guests, I was like, I want to be the most accommodating to them. And I feel like they would like a normal toilet a little bit more. Definitely. So that's the move.
At least it's not sort of one of those, I see a lot of the plywood boxes, you know, like real DIY, just with a toilet seat and a home bucket just sort of stuck underneath. I think,
oh gosh, I'm very lucky that we don't have that, but
yeah, you've got the proper unit. Yeah.
Yep. There's some downsides to it. And there's also some plus sides. It saves a lot of water. It like the one that it is, it doesn't smell it because of having the organic peat moss on the inside. Like it masks all the smell and stuff. Only thing is when we're gone, since we travel a good bit, being able to come back, especially in the summer months when the whole house is like a little bit hot when we're gone. Yeah. It's not like the most enjoyable, but I don't want to complain about it because I'm grateful for it, at least to have a toilet.
Exactly.
So I'll be more grateful in a couple weeks when we have a different one. But
I can imagine a lot more grateful. So the peat moss that you said that you use for the composting toilet at the moment, is that, do you just sort of buy that from the store, or do you sort of, is that part of the place where you are at the moment? Sort of, okay. So it's sort of,
I get it from, we over here in the States, we have like Home Depot and Lowe's and stuff. Yeah. I get like a really big bag of just, I think it's organic peat moss, because I think there's something in the compounds of that one versus one that might have some kind of gardening preservatives on it, is designed to like mask and break down lots of stuff. So I think I just get like a really big bag for like $11. Okay. And so it's nice. It lasts. I've only had to get like one bag this entire time of me living here. So it's been good.
Have you found that sort of, other things you need to sort of buy less of now that you're in a tiny house, less sort of disposable things you can sort of just buy less but better? So sort of going back to what we said about doing it right the first time, but have you found that there's sort of things that you don't need to buy now you live in a tiny house? Any things that you would have had, say, in a regular house that sort of you think you don't need anymore, or that sort of opened your eyes to that? Or
there are a lot of like kitchen appliances that I just don't really need, like being able to have like a toaster. I realized I can just toast bread in the oven and it still is perfect. I think it's just like a convenience of a toaster. Same with like a lot of decoration and like house decoration. I'm really liking a lot of very minimal, since I make longboards, I just have longboards hanging on the wall to make more of like a surf atmosphere too. I will say I have a lot of plants because I just like the aesthetic of plants. So I think I have too many plants for a tiny house right now. But that'd be nice to bring plants with us and things to decorate the new place, where I'm like, okay, maybe we don't have as much space in the tiny house as we'd want for that. So let's bring that to Atlanta, and being able to like, but yeah, I would say the decorations of being like, oh, I really like the minimal style more of than just random chairs and couches. Also really don't need a living, like a dining room table or like a kitchen table. We have this one bar that goes all along the window and down. And so he's just editing stuff right now, and it's just so nice just sitting at the bar, and then we'll just, we like to eat in here too. So being able to, we play Monopoly Deal a lot. So being able to like play and eat and hang out in a place where it's not necessarily a kitchen table, but being able to really consider this like a living room where we're like, wow, this feels the most homey in here. We do a lot of work at the kitchen bar, but then when we eat, it's a lot in here. So it's really nice being able to realize you don't need lots of chairs or living room stuff.
That's the thing. It sort of, it teaches you to be resourceful, like you said about the toast. There's so many things that it's such a convenience, say in like a conventional house or for most people, that with experience and sort of with obviously traveling and stuff, I'm sure you've realized that there's stuff that you just sort of, you can do another way, and it sort of takes a bit more time, but the space it saves and everything like that just sort of is a no-brainer.
Yeah, and to think about if it doesn't, you have to be really careful with like, and it helps a lot when you're at a store and you want to buy something and you don't have that urge and you're like, wait a second, I don't even have the space for that.
Exactly.
So it, helps your money. You're like, it makes me think about, will it look more cluttered or will it look more beautiful? And so a lot of times I'm like, no, that would just make it look a lot more cluttered. I don't need it. Yeah, and so then like in the future, we can decorate with other things when we have more space on stuff. But it's been really nice to be able to get me in a mindset of, okay, will it be more beautiful or will it take away from the atmosphere of like a minimalist?
When you've got sort of two or three spaces coming up in the future as well, you can almost as if sort of people in a house have different styled rooms. You've obviously got different styles that you're going for, houses that you can decorate separately. And so obviously you've got different projects coming up in the future. So it's almost as if people who live in a normal house have got different rooms that they style differently. You've obviously got the freedom to sort of have one, obviously, the Spanish and Miami inspired. Different styles that you can sort of have different things. You can still have all of the things you like, but just separate them as people would in a room, but you could separate them in a tiny house. So you've got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to have this place, probably since all the Spanish tiles are already implanted on the backsplash. So we'll keep this one more for like a Spanish tropical theme, and then being able to have the loft as more like a desert retro theme. So being able to, and then we can, for things that we wanted to do here that maybe we didn't have enough space or like it wouldn't really go with the atmosphere, we can just bring it and put it in a different place. So that way, if people want to rent out an Airbnb and they really like a desert vibe, then they can go and look at our loft. Or if they're like, oh my gosh, a Spanish tropical, I love it, then they can like choose which style they really like. So that'll be really fun.
Brilliant. Yeah, it'll be really fun. Okay, so I've got some questions here from the followers. I put a post on my story to ask some questions about your house. The first question we've got is, what color is on the walls?
It's a super light pink. It's a little bit pinker than I thought it was going to be, but I love it. It is a little bit lighter than a flamingo. I'm looking at a flamingo leg right now. But sometimes in the photos, it looks kind of white, which I wanted to go for like still a light color so that it can make the space look bigger. But also, we go to Miami a bit just to travel and stuff, and I've always loved the exterior with like all the greenery against a pink. So that's what I want, pink.
Brilliant.
But then when I started painting it, I said, oh my gosh, this is really pink.
So going back to traveling, obviously, being able to take everything that you have with you on your back has sort of obviously taught you the things that you need, the things that you don't need. So would you say that you've still got, sort of, as well as the minimal aesthetic, would you call yourself a minimalist? Would you say that you've sort of got fewer possessions now that you've moved tiny?
I do. A lot of it is because of, I think it would take away from the space, and then also being too lazy to find a place to store it. I'm like, if I need to find a place to store something, then I don't know if I really need it. It took me a while to actually want like a TV in here, but then Christian was like, my sister's got an extra one. And I was like, what? It's free. And so it's been, that's been something I didn't realize I wanted, but it's really nice when we can have little movie nights and stuff. I will say, when I was traveling, I didn't bring that many shoes, but I do really love dresses and outfits. So I think I have too many. I say too many, it's probably like six pairs, but still, versus traveling, it's like I had like two pairs, but now here I'm like, well, I have a little bit of space, I can put my shoes somewhere. But it has taught me a lot about things that I don't need. And a lot of it is clothes. I was like, I really don't wear this, so why would I keep it here?
Yeah. And obviously, because you're able to sort of design a space yourself and work out what storage you wanted for what, you could sort of think that because you sort of, you like those things more, you can make some more space for them. You can put them in a better location. And then the stuff that you don't need as much or that you realize you don't want to have in the house, you can just don't need space for.
Yeah, and things, a lot of it is stuff from travels and places we've gone that I'm like, ah, that stuff means a lot. So being able to, and especially now in like a new place together, like when we get married, it'll feel like both of our houses. So being able to have things from both of our adventures together of like, hey, remember when we got this in Puerto Rico, and having all the decorations have meaning too, and not just being like, ah, no, we found it at TJ Maxx. And so it'll be nice to be able to be really thoughtful in designing a place together now of like, yes, that meant a lot. Let's put that on the wall.
Okay. Brilliant. Yeah, that's really nice. All right, I'll grab some more questions. Okay. Another question we've got from the followers. After the idea, how long did it take you to start and fully go through with building Tiny?
I moved home from New Zealand in 2018. So like June of 2018. And then I had been doing a bit of research before on tiny houses. And I initially had kind of wanted a shipping container house, which we are more than likely going to be doing that sometime in the near future, just to be able to have different styles and to learn more about like, okay, now that we know, we can be a bit more careful on like the foundation on that. Cause those, if we want so many windows in the shipping container, we do need to be careful because I think it takes away the structure wise. So I'm like, okay, well maybe this house will have a lot of skylights, but maybe the shipping container has to be more careful with like where we put the lights and stuff.
Yes. Yeah, so, in a sort of different space anyway, and having that as more a different design style as well, completely. So you can have the separation between three or four. Yeah.
And they're so fun too. But process-wise, of me looking into getting a shipping container, I just wasn't finding ones and doing ones that I was like, okay, if I really do want a lot of light, maybe a shipping container wouldn't be one for me. So I was like, why don't I just like build one? So then I had talked with one of my friends who was in Atlanta and was like, Elise, I think we need to move up to Greenville. Like that place is so cool. And I was like, okay. And she was like, tiny houses are also legal up there. So that's when I had like gone through the process of like, okay, well, let me go check out this state that's close by, but it's about 2 hours. So from like Atlanta to Greenville. So that was a little bit of the process of still living in Atlanta, but then coming up here to like find a family and meet them in person to be able to be like, is this where I want to build it? Do I feel this connection with you that like, I think you'd be the kind of person who would build it. And so that was, I think, the longest process. And then being able to get like, I think right around Christmas of 2018 was when my builder who had done the frame was like, hey, I found the trailer. We can go ahead and get it. And then within like January is when he started doing the structure and the frame. And then like a month or so later is when he found out that his wife was pregnant. And so that put a little bit of a pause of being like, oh, well, my house was kind of on a back burner for him, which is understandable because babies and pregnant wives take up a lot of your time and energy and heart. And so I was like understanding of it, but I was like, I want to make sure that whoever is building my house is going to invest like their full heart in it and not just have it as like a little side piece thing. Exactly. And so that took a little, that took a little bit of time. That was probably the longest. Cause other than that, it was more of like finding each person. If I was like, okay, I need electric now, this is the next step of and talking with people about like, okay, if I'm going to build my own house, like what is the order that I need to build it in? Like what comes first? Foundation, plumbing, electric. And so the thought of learning about that and then having to find each individual person. So then starting and then in like May is when I had moved it from his property over to where I am now. And so it was so lovely because then everybody else who had done the rest of the work on the house would just come straight here. And like, I didn't have anything besides just the frame when I transported it from property to property. So I didn't have to worry about lots of furniture or anything moving or breaking on the inside because it was really just the frame at that point. So that was good. And then all the rest of the details came together here on this property. So then it was finished-ish in like November. It's always going to be, I've come to terms
it's
that like,
it's a project, isn't it?
It's always, that's why I have the word like art just tattooed, just realizing that everything is just going to be an art project. And like, I'll probably never be done decorating this. It'll be so fun. I'll think of new ideas and be like, oh my gosh, this would be so fun for my guests to have. And then just come up here and just edit the house a little bit. So I say it was done in like November, December, but it's really never going to be done.
It will never be done. Always a project.
Which is good. It's nice knowing we can just make more projects, but the thought of never feeling like that this house will always be done. It's like, it's nice knowing that you can always get more creative with it.
You can always come back to it. Yeah. So another question we've got, before you started your business, were you at college and what did you study?
What was the first part of the question?
Before you started your business, were you at college or did you study anything beforehand? Or
I studied business management. So I went to Kennesaw University, not too far outside of Atlanta. But I had known that I wanted to start Bacon Skate since I was like 16-ish. It's been my dream.
Awesome.
So it's been fun. It was always like, I watched a documentary on it of like the surf atmosphere, skate culture. It's called like the Original Skateboarders. And they had a little mini documentary series in like Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to have my own. I love that atmosphere. I was like, I want to make my own surf shop and I want to make something where I can paint things, but like a beautiful atmosphere of it. And then my cousin is a baker. She's a couple years older than me, but she's like, one of my favorite people on this planet. She's so lovely. But I would just watch her bake when I was like 14, 15. And I was like, she just looks like she loves what she's doing. And so I've always loved baking, but more of like a healthy aspect of it, of not doing things with like heaps of sugar or dairy or eggs or that kind of stuff. And so it's been nice to, I've always watched her and be like, that's really fun. That's what I want to do. And so then I was like, dang it, but what about my surf shop? I was like, how can I combine two? And then it was kind of like, it was kind of a joke. And I was like, well, when I was 18, I was like, maybe I should just combine both of them and call it like Bacon Skate or something. And so I was like, it rhymes. And then it was kind of like a joke because I was like, but they're so unconventional. They don't really go together. And then I was like, wait, that would actually be really fun. Like, that's not all businesses really have to combine super well. Yeah. It's more about like the atmosphere and the art that you make behind it and how you run it. Is like what can go really well. Exactly. And so I was like, well, if I'm really serious about it, I should study it in school. So I learned, I had heard that studying business management would be a good field because it would teach me more about like finance as well and like marketing and management instead of just studying entrepreneurship. So I studied entrepreneurship too, but kind of like as a subsection course. So it taught me a lot about the details of starting things and running your own business. But I'm really grateful that I did study business because it has taught me so much about like economics and things that I never really wanted to study. But now it's like, oh, cool. In terms of when I have to do my taxes, it's really beneficial to have known how to do that stuff.
I love that it's been an idea of yours for so long. And it is literally the two things that you love. You've been able to bring that together. I think for so many people listening as well, that's just so inspirational that they can sort of follow through with what they want to do. And it doesn't have to fit a quota. It doesn't have to be what people have done for you. You can honestly do whatever. It's about the personality. It's about you behind it is what people are buying into as well. So obviously it just shows you that you can do whatever you put your mind to. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was nice thinking about it too. Cause when I was at university and I would like, meet in the business school with some older men who were kind of more of like the investors part of like Kennesaw and being able to talk about like business ideas with them. A lot of them were like a bit older and maybe they didn't really grasp the concept and they were just like, I think you should just open a bakery because I don't really think that a bakery and longboarding shop will do well. And I was like, I mean, I could open just a bakery, but that's not my dream. I want it to be a half bakery, half longboarding shop. Yeah, and they were like, it's just not going to do well. And I was like, okay, well, I think I'd rather risk it because anybody can open a bakery. I mean, not anybody. It takes a lot of guts to open a bakery. But the thought of that wasn't really my dream wasn't to open a bakery. It was to open both. And if it's unconventional, then if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But so far it's been working pretty well.
Oh, brilliant. That is good. Really good to hear. What I was going to say earlier was sort of about continuing the project. So, when you've got the Airbnb guest in as well, the feedback you get from them and obviously you living with it and you visiting on your creative retreats and stuff, you'll always be able to sort of find things that you can do, that you can improve, that you can add to the house. Which
Always
an ongoing project.
Yeah. And it'll be nice to be able to, when I start having guests of like, my heart has to be ready for reviews because I'm sure like they're going to love it. But the thought of having people give like suggestions and things where I'm like, okay, I can do something to make it better versus me taking that really personal and being like, oh no, they didn't like my house. So that thought of like
a big part in it.
Yeah, into taking really good care and note of like, okay, even if I love that aspect of the house, if my guests are finding that is like not the most convenient, I need to be able to do what's best for my guests and like fix something in the house or like add something new that like maybe they wish they had in an experience or something. But since we travel so much, I've been keeping note of like all the Airbnbs that we stay in and being like, okay, I loved this about that one, or like, I didn't like this about that one. So to get lots of ideas, I'm like, okay, when we have our own, this is what we need to do because I loved the customer service with them. So that'll be really fun to be able to have learned a lot from all of our travels, but
from your experience.
whenever we have guests, to be able to take really good care and note of being like, okay, this is how we can make them feel the most welcome. That would be really fun.
Okay, cool. And then before, obviously, you moved in, before you started building your tiny house, had you stayed in one before? Is that something you've done on Airbnb, or was it sort of a completely new experience going into a tiny house?
I think it was really new. I don't think I'd ever actually stayed in one. I think we had stayed in one while I was traveling and while we were, or not while I was traveling, while I was building it. When we traveled, we stayed in one out west, and it was cool. It was a bit smaller than the size that I have, so it wasn't as good of a representation of like what I was getting myself into. So I was like, okay, I think mine will have a little bit more space, so it should be okay. But other than that, I don't think I really stayed in too many to get my heart like ready for it. I just always loved it. I love the style. I've always wanted to, I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, so my heart is like a host. And so I want to be able to like, I always just love hosting people, and I love being able to make people feel welcome. So I think that's my plan for the longest time, is to have a tiny house, knowing fully that like we'll have our own place somewhere. If that's another tiny house, that's awesome. But being able to build something that will be such a fun like experience for people, that's what I had in my mind from the very beginning of the building process, knowing that it wouldn't be mine long-term 24/7
as well.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's similar to me, because I've never been in a tiny house. I've never stayed in a tiny house. Currently living at home and at university, but it's just sort of been through traveling as well. I had a year off last year from studying, and just the freedom of having so few things and being able to sort of control what you bring in, what you put out, is just sort of, I just know I love it. So as soon as I've sort of graduated from university, that's going to be the first thing on the to-do list, is to build something here. Because obviously it's still quite new in the UK, and like you say, so there's some areas in the US that it's legal, some areas that it's not, but it seems to be sort of really picking up as a trend of the last sort of 5 or 6 years, especially. It's just sort of really, really grown over there.
Is it all legal in UK? Are there any areas that don't allow certain? Same over here. It's like we can have accessory dwelling units in some places of Atlanta, I believe, but then there's certain restrictions on like, you can't have a full kitchen, you can't have this, and I was like, I gotta have a full kitchen. I love kitchens.
One of the things that you need,
So that was what started me wanting to move here to Greenville and to open it here. And plus, it's such a cute city. It's so artsy, fartsy. It's just so beautiful. So being able to have it in a place that's like a little bit outside of a city, so people can get to downtown in like 20 minutes, but not have to feel like they're in the middle of a city when they're on a getaway. So that's why I wanted to put it here.
Brilliant. And then I've got two quick questions left, and then that should all be sorted. So we've already sort of touched on this briefly before, but someone's asked here, during the design process, what was your top priority when it came to function? So obviously, what was the thing that you sort of thought you didn't want to have any sort of, you wanted to make sure you had, or you wanted to make sure you'd done properly?
I knew I wanted the lights. I knew that I wouldn't feel creative if I didn't have a lot of natural light. Plus, it would save me from having to use lots of electricity, which even still, my electricity bill is practically nothing because it's such a small area. I also knew I wanted a full-size refrigerator because I love love cooking. I wasn't too particular on like the size of the oven. There's like some smaller ones but then like you couldn't really fit too much stuff in it. And I was like, if I want to make a lot of cookies at once, that'll be really difficult if I have a really small oven. And so I knew that I don't have a dishwasher, which can be a little annoying sometimes. I've never really had a dishwasher. I always have liked doing things by hand, but now that it's two people, it can be a lot of dishes, dishes sometimes. And so that's something where I'm excited that our place in Atlanta will have a dishwasher. But I knew I wanted a refrigerator because even now it like comes in handy so much where, I know it's kind of weird too, but if you run out of storage space, like in your cabinets, you can really put lots of stuff in your refrigerator.
Exactly. That is the thing as well. I've got one final question from a follower that's been sent in, is what's your advice for anyone that's sort of looking to go tiny or looking to build a tiny house in the near future? What would you say to them before they embark on that?
Do it right the first time because it will save you. It will save you money. You can get really good deals on furniture. I think I already said it earlier, but like you can get good deals on furniture. You can get good deals on decorations. You can get good deals when you're grocery shopping, but in terms of having a peace of mind when it rains and when it storms outside and you're like, wait, I spent that time getting a good roofer. Because there are some times when, even just up until the very end of my building process, I'd find people, my hair is crazy. I'd find people who, like if I needed something done on like getting a soffit on the outside of my studio to stop bugs in, I went with some guys who had like a lower price. And I was like, wow, that's great. Like they have a lower price, but they didn't do a great job. And so now my soffit doesn't even work and I still have bugs that come inside sometimes because I chose the less expensive option. When in reality, if I were to have just done a little bit more to make sure I was getting somebody who was certified or had a lot of really good reviews or something, I'd have more of a peace of mind. But there's lots of stuff where I cheaped out on because I was like, I can save money here. And now it's like, cool, well, now I have to pay to get a soffit done twice.
Which is so, more expensive in the long run,
Yes. So just make sure that, like, with the really important things, you get people that have good reviews and also who are certified in whatever you need to be getting done, because then you can have a peace of mind knowing that they did it right. It might have cost $100 more, $200 sometimes, but like at least if it's for a long term, picture it as an investment. It's not just like you spending money on something, but you're investing it in. There's really nothing that compares to a peace of mind when it rains now. Exactly. I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about anything leaking. Whereas for months, I just didn't have a peace of mind anytime it rained. So that is the most important thing to me, is to make sure that you're not skimping out on things just to save a few dollars here and there.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the initial investment, obviously getting the building right. And obviously you're looking at doing a conventional toilet now, is that initial investment will end up paying for itself with more guests. Obviously more people want to stay there, building a community. Obviously it's going to be an investment, but more people are going to want to be part of that. So obviously for the long run, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be better in the long term.
Yeah. I'm excited. Anyway. Thank you so much.
There we go. So that wraps up this interview with Elise. Thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to be speaking to you, to learn about your tiny house and your business. Wish you the best of luck with the Airbnb and your wedding and everything that's coming up in the future. Hope you enjoy your travels and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It was so nice to be able to talk with you about it.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. If you've got any questions, any suggestions, any questions for future episodes, any ideas, then please do get in touch. Instagram's the easiest way to reach me, at Tiny House Ideas. If you'd like to support the podcast, as I've mentioned, it's available on Patreon to support, and we've got a private Discord group there where we can have the discussion. We can really break down the podcast, talk about each episode, talk about upcoming episodes, and also watch all of the new releases early.